Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
713 says it was gifted. They didn't buy it, but a Brock Osweiler jersey. They wore it to an ugly Christmas sweater party and then donated it after.
Nice.
205 says some of my poor jersey purchases include Ryan Leaf. That was bad.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know they made these jerseys, but Cade McNown.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I didn't even know anyone could ever buy one of his jerseys.
Yeah, that feels like one you would have had to get personalized. Like,
yeah,
all the Cade McNown jerseys were the Cade McNown relatives who went to the
right
team shop or the NFL shop and got them customized. But like, that feels like the only way to get one.
832 said, I bought an Oilers jersey a few weeks before finding out they were leaving.
Wait, what? Oh, okay. I was going to say. I thought he was going to say a few weeks before they left. Was it, did you not read the news?
Yeah, that's tough. 409 says, not a jersey, but I did name my dog Watson.
Ooh.
Before everything went down.
Fair. Just say you're a big Sherlock fan.
What's the... I'll go to you on this, T-Mill. What's the rules on changing your dog's name? Is that not allowed?
Oof. I mean, it's... You really don't want to after, like, they reach a certain age because you trained them and that's
and
what
they
they're responding
to.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, I'd just go with a big Sherlock fan after that.
Yeah. 713 said Case Keenum. And then...
That's rude.
Hey, the whole wearing the Brock Osweiler jersey to an ugly sweater
that's
party,
slick.
That is really funny. That's a nice touch.
It's a great use of it.
Yeah, very clever.
We got multiple Osweilers. And then the last one I'll bring up, Steve Slayton, during the last week of his rookie year from the 8-3-2. Worst jersey that person ever bought.
I think they're being hard on themselves, man. Steve Slayton was good at one point, and you could justify that purchase, especially that one year, that one magical Steve Slayton year. And I would say that is you being a true day one. I don't know, that wasn't like the original team, but like that's a deep cut if there ever was one. Like, you have to be a tried and true Texans fan / Houstonian or whatever you want to call yourself to even know that that was ever a jersey worth purchasing.
I lied. I have to get to this last one that just came in from the 346 because this can't be true. What a ridiculous lineup. Aaron Hernandez, Brett Favre, Mike Vick, Johnny Football.
Yeah, that's BS.
And then said, get yourself some of that.
And also, if it was true, you have some weak-ass fandom.
all three of those? Or all four of those?
It's got to BS.
No way they did that.
And like I said, if they did, like, you're not a fan. Like, what are you doing?
Or if that's true, start buying like Mariners jerseys, Colts jerseys.
Pirates jerseys.
Yeah, that's right, for this week.
Non-Clemente
Pirates
jerseys. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. Either that or you have a, you know, thing for self-torture.
Yeah, that's right. Don't mind walking around looking like an idiot either in public wearing some of those after the fact. 281 says John Wall, biggest disappointment. which actually might circle back to a John Wall thought later on, actually, when talking about the NBA.
That's a tease.
That's right. Main Man Ocho said, I don't usually watch the Astros when Lance McCullers pitches because he gives me ulcers. So tonight I'll be watching for Paul Skeens, which takes me to the tease I set up for this segment, which was Paul Skeens is not the pitcher to watch for tonight's game as the Astros take on the Pirates in Pittsburgh. 5:40 first pitch here Central Time. And Brandon, you mentioned earlier the Astros need Lance McCullers now. They need him more than ever before. And it seems like, look, the Pirates don't have a very good lineup, but this is a big spot tonight when you go up against Paul Skeens on the road.
Yeah, I think if you're just an objective observer or, you know, just a general baseball fan, then obviously Paul Skeens is the appointment viewing in this game, okay? So, like, I don't want to take away from that, but if you're an Astros fan, and that's who we're talking to, you know, specific to Houston, Lance McCullers and how this thing goes just matters more than it ever has. And
makes us all nervous.
And I've gotten to a point to where I'm beyond just, hey, he's more important now than he was, let's say, in the beginning of the year or when he made his first start, as opposed to what is this going to be, his sixth turn in the rotation. It's even changed from there, and it's for obvious reasons. Of course, we've been following the news. We understand that the Astros have a Tommy John problem. So that's part of it. That's a big part. That's probably the main part of it. But I would also point out that in the Lance McCullers heyday, when Lance McCullers was pitching and it was the Lance McCullers that we had grown to know, it was at a time when they had others in their rotation that you felt good about, you know, that you felt real confident in. It was okay for you to get to the Lance McCullers start after Verlander or even in the Cole days and, you know, Fromber's earliest days and, you know, Zach Greinke. Like, they've had guys in that rotation where Lance wasn't the top of the rotation guy, but his third, fourth, and fifth starters went.
I liked your voice.
Hey, that was a hell of a route to go. That was a hell of an option to go with. Now, and I know he's not necessarily like the third guy in the rotation, like the order of the rotation, but he's the third guy that you would have to feel confident in because the guys after that are just not guys at all. No disrespect to him, but the Colton Gordons and the Ryan Gustos of the world just aren't there yet. They can't be. And so after Framber Valdez and after Hunter Brown, it starts to get really, really murky unless Lance McCullers can be some version of the old Lance McCullers, or even if you don't want to compare it to the old Lance McCullers, just be a starting pitcher. Be an actual starting pitcher and not make it feel like a bullpen game. And to his credit, he's had some outings as of late that give you confidence that that could be the case. He's had some shaky ones too, but I just think that now it's more important for two reasons, because of the injuries that we already know about, but also even without those injuries, the depth of the rotation or the quality of the rotation, maybe I should say, is not the same as it used to be. And it just heightens the importance of Lance McCullers being at the very least serviceable and decent. So, again, this is and you mentioned it, this is an example of them going up against a lineup that's not all the way strong. You would like to see Lance McCullers be on the right side of history here.
Coming off that performance with 12 strikeouts against the A's, who also don't have one of the most premier lineups. And McCullers has gotten better each of his last kind of three outings, certainly in strikeouts. And he's ran through the AL West, the Rangers, Mariners, A's, now takes on the Pirates in this interleague game. And Pirates have the third worst lineup statistically in baseball, so that helps. I was saying all offseason that whatever you get from McCullers this year is gravy. And I wasn't even expecting a ton from him. Honestly, I was shocked that he returned to the mound as quickly this season as he did. But like you said, now we're to the point where, I mean, it's no longer gravy. He's become an important part. You need good starts from him now. He's their number three starter for all intents and purposes right now. And I say all that to set up my question, I suppose, of like, where are you on Lance? Do you think he can be someone that, coming off that 12 strikeout performance, he can be counted on, or are we still kind of figuring our way through this thing?
The non-answer is he has to be, right? Mm-hmm. That's the cop-out, is like, whether you think he is or not, he kind of just has to be. I mean, think about it like this, Luke. He went from sixth to third in a matter of just like that, right? Like in a finger snap, he went from luxury Lance, as the guys on this show like to call it, right? Like T-Mill, that's what we've called here on the drive. We've been calling him luxury Lance.
Designated a while back.
And now it ain't no luxury no more, right? Like, it's not a matter of, well, are they going to go to a six-man rotation when they got 17 games in 17 days? Or, now that they got six starters? Are they going to do that to, you know, give their guys some reprieve, if you will? It ain't that. You know, like, you need him, again, now more than ever, and certainly now more than you did at the start of the season, to go from sixth to third so quickly, and we're barely into June. And it was this case, like, in late, so we get to late May, and now that's the case. He goes from sixth to third just that quickly. Now, to your question, where am I at? I'm a Lance McCullers guy, you know, and unapologetically, you know, I am biased toward the guys that contributed to the World Series campaigns. And so everybody that was a significant part of a World Series for the Astros is an Astros legend to me. So you can't make me hate Lance McCullers. I know he ain't pitched in 3 years or whatever it was, you know, prior to these six starts. And I know luxury Lance, and we made a joke of all of the Lance McCullers updates that we would get throughout the last couple of years when he wasn't pitching. And there is a level of frustration, I think, for everybody. Even for me, as somebody who is a staunch Lance defender, it's frustrating. But it's hard for me not to have confidence in a guy that I've seen operate in the way that I've seen him operate in the past. And even not just the more, I would say, recent future in him.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Constantly evolving as a pitcher, right? He's constantly having to reinvent himself and, like, not just be a thrower, but a pitcher. And I think he's done a really decent job of doing that, like, to his credit. You know, the injuries aside, like, that's a tough part. But when he's out there, I feel like he's giving you quality for the most part. So, like, his last start, doesn't get the win, but gives you a quality start. Had a couple of hiccups there, but for the most part, I mean, he had the 12 strikeouts. He had, like, five ground balls or something like that. It was just, it was quality, not just in terms of what the definition of what a quality start is, but the eye test of watching him out there. I felt pretty good about him in that outing. And I know we're just using that as one antidote, but if I take that and try to carry it over into this start, and then, you know, depending on what happens tonight, you know, or today and to the next start, then yeah, like, I think he is at least building confidence in myself and others.
713's with me. They say, I agree. Everyone knows who Skeens is. We need to find out about Lance for sure.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. This is a big time. Look, I think it's interesting that as we go along, I keep saying this every time we talk about the next Lance McCullers start, but I keep saying, like, this is the biggest one, and now this is the biggest start. And it kind of started that way where it went, like, the White Sox were a minor league team, and then get the Reds who are better, and obviously that was a disaster. Then you get the Rangers on the road, and that seemed like a big spot, but then you pitch against Seattle, who's in first place. You know, and then you try to build off of that against another divisional team in the A's, and now you go on the road for the first time in a couple turns, and you take on Paul Skeens, which leads me to this other comment from the texter that says, from the 337, the biggest fear is that it went from luxury to where we didn't have to depend on him to now we need him. I know he feels it. I hope he doesn't overdo it just to be that guy, says 337. That was actually my thought for tonight, where this is maybe like a novice take, because the pitchers don't necessarily face each other. You're facing the batters. But McCullers is on his way back. He's coming off the 12 strikeout game. And then you see Paul Skeens on the other side. And McCullers used to be, maybe not to the Skeens level, but he's used to being like one of the guys for the Astros.
Yeah, got paid, you know, got a contract. Yeah, for sure.
So when you see, like, oh, I'm pitching against Skeens tonight, and for any competitor, like, you ramp it up another level. Again, this might be an amateur take, but it's just a small little concern tonight that maybe he does try to overdo it or just overthrows because he's trying to match Skeens on the other side, like pitch for pitch.
Yeah, I think it's a fair concern, and to just kind of hope for the Astros' sake that Lance McCullers doesn't get in his own head.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you, and you know, I know Lance a little bit as well as I do. I can't tell you one way or another if he's going to be in his head or not. Only he really knows how he's going to internalize this. And when I say internalize this, I'm talking about both sides of both ends of the ledger here, in terms of the Paul Skeens element of it. That's the other guy that's on the other side. But then also, they need me. To the texter's point, I'm not luxury Lance anymore. I am a necessary part of this rotation.